Good evening, Huttonites everywhere. I'm Harry Balzac, who just muted his microphone. I'm your host for this evening, and I'm joined in the studio by a ragtag group of people who look more tired than usual because they've been forced to use their legs for a change. All except the apology officer, who doesn't look tired. If I was to categorise the look on her face, I'd say it was sort of midway between resigned and, yeah, we know you can walk about and I can't, so just get on with it, in a Glasgow accent. Crew, announce yourselves.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and after noticing Harry skip the introduction, I'm raring to go. you see what I did there?
I saw you did there.
Raring.
I saw that too.
Because I'm the one that does the Rarest Digest.
You caught me up. I was ready for that. Doing it anyway.
Carry on.
Yeah. Your turn.
I'm Juan Kier, and I'm not going to make any silly puns. I don't like to make an ass of myself, so I don't become the butt of the joke.
Norma Stockers just lets her pan speak for itself.
Ooh, I'm your heartless, and you're right. We should just skip the intro and get straight onto the news desk, so let's just get on with it.
War. What is it good for, eh? Serious.
Ready, Plater One.
Accidents will happen.
Homegrown clone shown.
Is Lael a bald-faced liar? Does the Panther Clipper exist? And is it a stealth ship?
Trucker's folly.
The BGS calm after the storm.
Pellucidly, exclusively, community opportunity.
History is littered with tales of evil megacorporations and their machinations, attempting to crush the plucky underdog of a local business under their foot. Teams of lawyers, spokespeople, accountants, and middle management sent in to oust that little shop on the corner so they can build a retail complex, or that tiny but oh successful brand that manages to be far more popular than them when it comes to customer reviews. Sirius Corporation, on the face of it, a wonderful technology firm selling to governments and galactic powers, self-styled saviors when it comes to helping develop technology to defeat Tharg the Mighty. Their smiling posters and adverts style them as the friend of the people. But when it comes to their neighbours, they're anything but lovely. Yes, with an eye on Hutton's rares, on the 4 billion people who choose to live in peace and prosperity as part of the Hutton Orbital Truckers Cooperative, and of course, on one of the most well-known stations in the galaxy, Sirius Corporation attempted a hostile takeover. They declared war in Alpha Centauri, with the new on-foot war zones now licensed for a bit of pew-pew, sent in shock troops to try to oust the truckers. As many a foe has found over the years, rolling over a trucker isn't as easy as you might think. We are quite literally no pushover. For starters, Hutton boasts one of the larger contingent of Pilots Federation commanders in the galaxy, possibly the largest diaspora for any one faction. And for dessert, to a person, Hutton truckers don't like being pushed around. Unless it's in a shopping trolley after a rather heavy evening out, and even then it should be at speed towards another trucker and whilst holding a wrapping paper in a tube as a lance. Truckers from across the galaxy headed home via the shops, stopping to pick up their favourite Dom outfit and Sirius spanking equipment, pulled on a big pair of boots and then issued a Hutton-sized asp-kicking as only truckers know how. Our thanks go out to all truckers for their efforts in the last week, whether on foot, in space, or just cheering from the bar as they watched it on the TV. As usual, we also need to thank our friends at the Paladin Consortium, who were always up for a bit of a scrap when needed. Next week, Sirius Corporation are attempting to use the 10th Fleet, a dormant faction from Barnard Star, to do their dirty work for them. And you know what? They're gonna fail too. Our advice to Sirius is to get serious about them, not us. By them, we mean the eight-sided things with an appetite for occupied escape popsicles and barbecued Coriolis.
Earlier this week, brave Commander Plater took it upon himself to hitch a ride on the doomed station Oracle after its Thargoid attack, as it slowly but inexorably plummeted towards a fiery doom on the planet Delphi 5A far below, though a little less far with every passing second. Plater held his ground like a war correspondent would, keeping the galaxy informed on the status of the stricken starport, as the word went out that the passengers desperately needed saving, and the docking bay had suffered a substantial damage. Independent pilots all over the galaxy who'd signed up to the rideshare system Hober cried in unison, "Here, hold my beer," as they flew to the Oracle and the other stations attacked by the Thargoids. For hour after hour, the brave Hober drivers went back and forth to the station until sufficient passengers had been removed to reduce the mass of the station to the point where a Lacon Type 9 bearing the colours of a Texas-based towing company and the message, "Buck Naked, Always on the Pull," could pull the station back into its proper orbit. Lacon's finest also managed to reposition the other stations, but questions have arisen as to just why several stations would fall out of orbit and all at the same time. The original attacks came from the Thargoids, but why this change of tactic when they've been content to simply damage the stations in the past without causing problems to their propulsion systems? At this stage, we just don't know, but we suspect that the Thargoids may be in league with certain elements in the bubble who want all eyes turned away from what they're trying to accomplish in the galaxy. Well, we're not saying who it could be, but there are elections coming up very soon. Just saying.
Have you noticed that wherever you are in the galaxy, it's always been 2 days since the last accident? Okay, so it could be a coincidence that you happen to arrive 2 days after the last accident wherever you go. After all, the universe is a strange place and coincidences do happen. Mark Twain's birth and death coincide with Halley's Comet, for example. Stephen Hawking shares his birth and death dates with Galileo and Einstein, respectively. And, amazingly enough, when you go searching for something, it's always in the last place you look. But that doesn't seem to cover it all of the angles, does it? If it was 2 days since the last accident yesterday, and I look at the board today, then surely it should be 3 days, or, if an accident had occurred, 0 days. But no, it's always two. So, what's the truth behind this obviously impossible global statistic? Could it be that they're using a different definition of an accident each time? Perhaps the first time you visit, it'd been 2 days since someone slipped in a wet patch near Floor Mopping Guy, and the next time it's been 2 days since someone last got vaporised for dropping litter in the control zone. Perhaps the indicator board, down bubble of space-time, and events occur at different rates from the rest of us. And it's been 2 days in there for a very, very long time. Maybe all the boards show the statistic for a different part of the galaxy each time, and today it's the turn of some Thargoid forsaken outpost that hasn't seen any visitors since Hotmess enlivened their little lives by delivering a solitary mug, and tomorrow it'll be the turn of just about anywhere else. All except Hutton, of course. We don't think we've managed two accident-free days in, well, forever, really. We have our suspicions, though, that none of the above are true, or even likely, though that's never stopped us before. We think the accident actually occurred in the factory that makes all of the indicator boards, and none of them work. How else can you explain that the temperatures are always identical, even if you go up and breathe on it?
Now that many people are able to get up out of their seat and move around a little, they're looking for ways to make their suits and weapons just a little fancier. Maybe a cooling unit for their beer helmet, perhaps a bifocal gun sight for the older combat pilot, or a silencer for their suit's gaseous exhaust port. Whatever the upgrade, they're going to need to talk to an engineer. Or three. Or one. The pictures of Jude Navarro, Wellington Beck and Kit Fowler have shown some worrying similarities. If two, indeed three, absolutely identical things can be classed as merely similar, that is. The fact that they all look the same apart from the clothing could be entirely innocent. It could be that King Hanky has rented out his cloning facility to be able to make multiple engineers, and the different clothing is to be able to tell them apart at sorting time. It's also possible that the person generating the publicity shots for the engineers did not, in fact, have their images to hand, and so merely took three shots of himself as placeholders and didn't remember to replace them before publishing. Anyone who's taken a mission to visit station $#hash in the $#hash system to collect an item from $#hash with combination ##hash will recognise this kind of event. We do have our doubts, however, that any of these are true. Rumours have reached us of a possible scandal that amounts to fraud. It has been alleged that there aren't three engineers. There's only one. And the multiple names are a way to collect multiple salaries. This could explain why so many engineers' requirements are so odd and difficult to obtain, like spending half a year in an Apex taxi before they'll see you, because he needs time to change costume before you get back. Seeing engineers always struggling into their clothes when you arrive is not, as you might have thought, evidence of a love tryst being cut short, but was just the zip on the cardigan for the other engineer getting stuck as they changed. But see if we're not right. Next time you go and see Jude Navarro, try calling Wellington or Kit and see if they jump.
Last week we mentioned Lael Wolf, ex-progenitor and newest member of the Shiniest Dome Club, as rumours of nepotism were circulating regarding missions that were being given out, sending pilots to Colonia for the sort of money that even Cecil wouldn't get out of bed for, assuming he was capable, that is. We were suspicious that these missions were emanating from a person who has a very troubled state of mind. Well, we didn't need to be suspicious, because this week, old Earl, howling at the moon wolf, has surpassed herself. A Hutton trucker brought this to our attention, but in case of reprisals, they have asked to be kept anonymous. So we have obscured their hollow me, although we have retained the trademark smirk that seems to accompany everyone's photos these days, and made their name and credit balance completely unrecognisable. This trucker was engaged in selecting missions when he came across one at Alden Prospect of all places, asking for pilots to go to a settlement and exterminate members of the Hutton Truckers. Despite Lael's recent troubles, we prefer not to think badly of her, and indeed, that is how we at the Orbital prefer to regard everyone until proven otherwise. We are keeping a close eye on the situation, and this may have been a false flag operation, a desperate attempt to demoralise the truckers during our recent war, and we hope to see Lael again regain her health and even her hair just as soon as possible.
Commander Chicks was out exploring today in his SRV when he suddenly stopped short and his shields lit up like Cecil's face at opening time. What was it? What had he struck? Was he going to have to bury another body from a hapless pedestrian that he'd done a Bruce on? Was Drive Assist On now switching to mother-in-law in the back seat mode, forcing him to stop in case he ran into that other SRV that was only just visible over the brow of the hill with the Hubble telescope? Braving the elements and heeding his suit's message, surface temperature too hot or too cold, wear a hat or a scarf and your big coat. He ventured out to see what the obstruction was, but he couldn't see that as whatever he banged off did not refract light in any visible way. It was invisible. Getting out his Dyson scanner to see if it was some kind of natural camouflage for a new type of flora, or failing that, to make sure it wasn't covered in dust, Chix's scanner whirred, pinged, popped, only to register no vegetation at all. Okay, so how can you tell what it is if it's invisible, he thought. I know, I'll jump on it. So he did. Over and over, After falling off and failing to ascertain the exact shape, he prepared to return to the base with a "you'll never guess what I haven't seen" story. When he ran into it again, or another one just the same, so he jumped on it again and again. Chicks may know how to navigate his way in the black with one arm tied behind his back. Hey, don't knock it until you've tried it. But he signally failed to describe the invisible shape to us in any detail, other than to say it felt big. And he's an expert when it comes to feeling big things. Our suspicion is that this is the proving ground for a new fleet of invisible ships. Far-fetched? Have you ever seen the documentary about Diana Prince? Maybe even the fabled Panther Clipper, if it exists. It makes sense it'd be a bit special. And you can't get much more special than invisible, can you? All we can say is, watch this space. All that space. Since we have no idea where it is.
As reported last week, Hutton's latest home away from home, the holiday park where weary truckers can put their feet up, after taking their boots off, of course, relax and recharge their power regulators, Trucker's Folly was missing. The Major General had put it somewhere, but we weren't sure where that somewhere was. Commander Retired Navy IT-1, as all good retirees do during the daytime, was watching a few episodes of Asps Under the Hammer. Don't get done, get Dav. And of course, the Empire's Most Dangerous Wedding Barges, when something caught his eye. Channel surfing, he paused on a broadcast from Boss Lady B and sat there agog at what he saw. Trucker's Folly on screen. The log flumes gushing, the plastic horny Viking helmets lined up at the gift shop, the comically large-headed park host in their costumes ready to welcome truckers with a song and a selfie. Yes, he found it. In Odin's, home of Boss Lady B. We've been in touch, and she's proud to play host to our base, and has promised to keep a good eye on it for us and supplied it with everything a tired trucker might need on their day off. Commander Flossie has the honour of being the first Hutton trucker to visit a holiday park and has let us know that the bingo hall is lovely and the artisan gin supplies in the bar are likely to take her all month to test. Apparently they've given her a season ticket and VIP parking too. If you fancy a day off, pop to Odin's. Get your inner Viking on and go wassailing at Trucker's Folly, where the sun only sets once a day and the songs are sung all day and night.
Well, it's a fairly clear board in Hutton Systems for midweek, and the only cloud on the horizon is a lockdown pending for Barnard Star. So kill yourself some bad guys and hand in the bounties to Barnard Star, but not at Sylvie's claim, as it isn't ours yet. Don't forget that you can do your pew-pew in any Hutton system, Wolf 1481 is my new favourite, and turn them in at Barnard Star. In the shallow end of the Hutton Systems gene pool this week, below 40% are Ross 671, recovering from a pirate incursion, Kirkari, Alpha Centauri, recovering from a very serious challenge, and Wolf 1481. The war with the Frog Corp in Aspellini is dragging on to be the longest ever, and started before the war in Alpha Centauri. Fortunately, Hutton are currently losing 3-2. Yay! But it could go to 3-3 imminently, then it would be down to penalties, and everybody knows what happens when we go to penalties. Yeah, I know. We win. And then we're all despondent for weeks about what might not have been. So if you have any fight in you left after Barnard Star and Alpha Centauri, fight for the Frog Corp pond life against Hutton. At the top end of the Hutton System League, seven systems are above 60%. That's almost a third, people. And that's it. I don't think there's anything else happened in the week. I've done that already. The war in Alpha Centauri, well, yeah, what can I say? With Hutton Orbital at stake, truckers answered the call, as did the friends of truckers and the friends of truckers. It was all over in 4 days, and this correspondent just can't see that the mega corporation in question took it at all seriously. Well done to those gallant commanders that dusted off their multi-cannons, and we hope your reputation with you-know-who isn't seriously harmed. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Tsar Hanky instructs that truckers work in tier for hot coal in the election, but work against us, that's work against hot coal, in Pythias in the election there. We still need to leave Hotel Casa Denari, where commanders now complain to the hotel management about bumping into invisible furniture. Priorities this week. If you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in the four lowest systems mentioned earlier, including Ross 671, but particularly Alpha Centauri, as it recovers from the war. Our agents report that dark forces are still at large, seriously pushing influence, and as I speak, they are within 1% again. If you want to shoot something, kill pirates and turn in the bounties at Barnard's Star to shorten the pending lockdown period. We still need to exit Carson and Ari, so help any of the factions there except Hutton.
Here are the details of the events organised and run by the Elite Dangerous Community that we've been able to discover. Eris Maidlung has wound up the Mega Djinn Ramble as follows. The crew of the Isfahan found the last lost set of keys for the frameshift drive and came back to Hutton space, landing in the Pants, George Pantatis, on Saturday. Since the crew scattered like mice trying to get over the massive amount of muscle atrophy we have all experienced sat in our flight seats. We don't have any firm plans to leave Hutton space for now, though we will likely do targeted surveys in the future. Commander Mephisto's weekly update on the comings and goings, mostly goings at the moment, of the Comfy Cannon Cruise tells us, the 11th week of the Comfy Cannon Cruise was even less eventful than the last on the whole, but many passengers finally got to walk about in many places they weren't allowed at previously. This worked well all in all, with the usual quirks such new possibilities come with. All except for Commander English, who fell into a catatonic state after an out-of-ship experience, constantly muttering Orange Sidewinder for a few days. When he came back to his senses, he began calling himself a mollusk monk, started a religious cult revolving around space-living mollusks, and designated an unused promenade shop on Khonsu as the Mosque of Molly. Molly is a bullet mollusk living as a pet on Khonsu and beloved by passengers as well as crew, which was brought on board by Commander Phoenix Rising 303 at one of the earlier waypoints. Her adventures have become a regular joy among all on board, so it's no wonder many passengers join the cult already. Khonsu will stay at least over the next week in Colonia, as the temptations of civilization still exceed the promises of uncharted territory. Last weekend was to have been when the Texas Lake on Massacre took place, organised by Commander Venezia, but the event was postponed at the last minute in order to give everyone a chance to join in with saving Hutton, which really was the right decision. But all is not lost. It's going to go ahead now on the 12th of June at 2100 BST, 2000 UTC. A new likely event that they've not heard details about this before, Commander Venezia describes it thusly. In honour of all that Bucknecked has done on the radio show for the Hutton Truckers and his love of Lake and Spaceways, we'll be using a T7 to mine and act as bait for pirates in a Hazrez in Wolf 1481. The T7 will be escorted by two small ships and a medium ship of your choosing. The goal is to defend the T7 while it mines and racks up some bounties with the escort ships. Details are on our Facebook page, which be pasted into the chat. Only 1 week until the Artemis Biological Survey 2 starts, organised by the Deep Space Network, to travel around the inner Orion Spur, exploring the stellar systems in search of new biological features and exceptional geological formations in partnership with Vista Genomics. The expedition sets off on Friday, June the 4th, and they return on July the 11th. They posted a new itinerary to take into account the things that they've planned, that they've learned about Odyssey and how best to use it. Details, including their Discord, being operated jointly in English and in French, can be found at bit.ly/ArtemisSurvey2. A heads up about possible events coming up from the Elite Races, where they are planning a new Scarab A to B Rally Championship. This one will see a never done before team setup where teams of two compete against each other. A team consists of a Scarab racer that races from A to B with zero pips to engines, offering a close quarters ground based rally race that is completely different from what we've done before, no flying, and a newly introduced scout slash pit crew pilot that is responsible for flying overhead, giving the best course to follow with the fewest obstacles and smoothest terrain, and landing ahead to swap out the Scarab for the driver in case of damage. Details in the Elite Races Elite Dangerous Racing Club Discord. And don't forget to be afraid, very afraid, as the July the 14th hanky party is getting ever closer, celebrating his 6th fleet carrier. Schedule on our Facebook events page. Link posted in the chat.